for that. And Lord, as we stop and consider these words of the Lord Jesus, and particularly what it means and our responsibility, we do pray that, Lord, you will be our minister and that your Spirit will be the one who teaches and encourages us this day. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the two verses that I read are commonly referred to as the Great Commission, as most of you would be aware. The time when Jesus instructed his disciples to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we can presume, as we see it unfold in the disciples' life and those who believed afterwards, that this commission wasn't just for the ones who Jesus was speaking to, but this commission was for all who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those believers in the Lord Jesus are to go and preach the gospel to others. And so that includes each one of us, if you say that you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having said that, I'd like to ask you a simple question, and that is, how are you going with this great commission? In that, when was the last time you told someone about the Lord? The gospel, that good news, that Jesus came and took the punishment for their sin and they can have their sins forgiven. When was the last time you shared the gospel with someone? Was it this week? This month? Have you shared it this year? Or has it been this decade? When was the last time you did this? Or another question might be put to you, if everyone acted like you in this area, well then, how many people would actually hear the gospel? That's a good question. How many people would actually hear it? Well, I'm certainly not going to point the finger at anyone because I know that I'm just as guilty as most people in this area. What I do believe is that one of the reasons why people don't witness is because we're not sure how to go about it. We don't know how to prepare properly. We need someone to give us some instruction in how to do that. Now, thinking about it, that might have been a good opportunity for Brother Fraser, being an evangelist, to share with us and give us some pointers on how to do that. But we don't have Brother Fraser here today, but we certainly have someone that God used in a very special way to share the gospel with others to give us advice. And that, if you've looked at the title, is the Apostle Paul. In Colossians chapter 4, in those first few verses, the Apostle Paul gives some advice on witnessing to others and how to go about it. And I must admit, I found this rather encouraging. And what I did realize as I looked at these things, that I realized that I have some big gaps in this area of witnessing. Gaps that I need to patch up and start to do in my own life. And I trust that as we go through this, you might see if there are things that you need to do and or start doing in this area. And what we see here is Paul gives four things that he considered to be very important in this area of being a testimony or sharing the gospel with others. And I suspect if the Apostle Paul considered these things to be important, well then they should be important for each one of us as well. All right. And so as we look at these four things, I trust they will be a help to you as they were to me. Now, the first thing that we see is found in, starts in verse 2 and goes on into verse 3, but it says there in verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And so the first thing we understand here is when in the area of witnessing is there is a need to pray. Paul gives the exhortation to continue in prayer. Now, I'm not real smart, I accept that, But what I can work out is if someone says to continue to do something, that means they are already doing it, all right? And the encouragement is to continue to do it. And here Paul says to continue in prayer, which would make me believe that they were already doing it. They were praying, and he encouraged them to continue to do it. Now, I hope that applies to you as well. I trust in the area of praying for others, for the lost, and so on, that the word continue applies and you don't need to hear the word start. All right? Start means you aren't doing it and you need to start doing it. Continue means you are doing it and you need to continue. I trust you haven't got slack in the things of God, got cold towards the Lord, got too busy to pray for each one here and for others and the lost. And so my exhortation is the same as here. If you have been faithful in praying, please continue to pray, especially over this time of the year. We need each other's prayers. This is a time when slackness can slip in. Temptations arise. The devil is very hard at bringing the children of God down and pulling them into the wilderness, spiritual wilderness, and destroying their testimony, especially this time of the year. And so we need to be praying for one another. And that's what Paul says to those at Colossae. Continue to pray, and he says there to watch. Be on the lookout, praying for one another. But then after he says that, he starts to bring attention to himself and the need that he has for believers to pray for him in the area of witnessing. It says there in verse 3, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. He says, with all, which simply means at the same time. And so while you're praying, will you also at that same time pray for us? And this is the first point that I want us to consider as we consider praying, and that is Paul understood the need for prayer in the area of witnessing. He didn't just think, well, I'm just going to go around, I'm going to tell people about Jesus, and whatever happens, happens. Now, Paul knew that in the area of witnessing, God needed to do a work as well. It wasn't just a matter of hoping. He wanted God to do something. He knew that a very important part of the process was God doing his work. And he knew that prayer was needed so that God would open up opportunities. Do you understand that when you want an opportunity to share the gospel, it is also something that God does. There is a divine working to open up a door. And that's what he says there, praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. And so Paul understood the importance of this, and he even asked those at Colossae that they would be praying for him that this would come to pass. There's no doubt he prayed for it himself. Lord, please open up a door of utterance. But he considered this so important that he asked others to pray for this to come to pass as well. And you know yourself, when you really want something, you pray for it, don't you? You want good health. You may want something to happen. You care for your children. You want them to be safe. You pray for them because of that. But when you really want something, you pray or ask for others to pray for you or pray for that as well. That's when you know you really want something. Can you pray for this? you're praying and you want others to be involved in the process as well. And such was the passion of Paul to share the gospel that he didn't just pray himself for open doors, he asked others to do the same. Which made me stop and wonder, as I was thinking about that this week, when was the last time I actually prayed that God would open a door for me to share the gospel? And I know I have, but certainly not regularly. And I don't think I've asked too often that God would, others would pray for me, that God would open up a door of utterance to speak the gospel. Which is a question I'd put to you. When was the last time that you prayed that as well? Lord, please bring someone across my path today that I may share the gospel with. Lord, please bring that searching soul to me so I might be able to be the one that shares the gospel with them. Open up a door of utterance. If the gospel is good news and it's good news to you, I suspect if you truly believe that, you'll want to be sharing it with others. You know yourself, when someone hears good news, someone has a baby, you want to tell someone. Or if there's good news about someone who was sick and now they're healthy, thought they were going to die, but they're not going to die, you're going to tell people about that. It's good news. Well, on the basis of that, how good is this news to you seen in your actions? Do you really want to tell people? Do you pray that God will give you opportunities to tell people? Do you ask other people to pray that God would open up an opportunity for you as well? We need to be praying for opportunities to witness to our neighbour, to those we work alongside, to those we come into contact with every day. If you are a Sunday school teacher, just don't go through the process of teaching and hoping that you might have an opportunity to share the gospel. Ask God to give you an open door. When you're a one-way leader, when you go into the rooms and you have that team time, how about praying during the week that God would give you an open door to share the gospel? Even with unsaved this Christmas, rather than trying to force a door open, have you thought about praying that God will open a door so that you can take that and share it? We shouldn't just hope we get opportunities. We should be praying, understanding that it is God who does the opening. When we pray for missionaries, you can often pray that God will keep them safe because we want them to be safe, that God will provide their needs because we want that. But I suspect missionaries above all want you to pray that God will give them an open door to share the gospel. Because that is the reason why they are there. They've gone over there so they can share the gospel. And they can be as healthy as they are, have every need provided. But if they don't get opportunity to share the gospel, they're going to be disappointed. That should be the first and the regular prayer, that God would open a door of utterance. Have you been praying for opportunities? Let's go back to those first two words. Is that something you need to continue to do? Or is it something you need to start to do? Only you know. For me, I think it's start doing more often. That might be sort of where I need to fit. Start doing more often. So that's the first point that Paul gives. Piece of advice. Pray for open doors. The second thing is we need to actually speak, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. And so Paul prayed that he might speak the gospel and that he may speak it in a way that they can understand. I think that's very poignant, that I may make it manifest or be able to reveal it to them as I speak. And so he prayed for help, for opportunities to arise, but then he also prayed that God would help him to speak it and speak it in a manner that they can understand. That's an important thing as well, to actually take the opportunity and then do it in a manner that they can understand. You know, a lot of times someone, a door is opened, but we don't take it. You know, someone says, well, what do you believe? And you don't say anything. Or a very simple one is on Monday, oh, what did you do on Sunday or yesterday? And you don't mention church to see if a door opens and questions arise from that. God opens a door, but you don't speak. No point praying for opportunities for an open door, and then when they're open, you don't say anything. Oftentimes we don't say anything. It's because we're a little scared, isn't it? Afraid that maybe someone might think we're strange, might cause arguments, maybe a bit uncomfortable. We need to pray not only that we'll speak, that we'll have the boldness to speak. You know, it's interesting that in Ephesians 6, verse 19, Paul says, and for me, this is what he wanted them to pray in Ephesus, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. And so he asked believers to pray that he would have the boldness to speak. You know, I often think that Paul never got scared of preaching the gospel. He was this fearless man that just went around and didn't care what anyone thought, and he just told them about the Lord Jesus. But that isn't the case. Please turn over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We see here that Paul is reciting how he felt when he went to those at Corinth. And it's very different to the way that you might have perceived the Apostle Paul as he goes into a city and he starts to preach. He says in verse 3 of chapter 2, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And so we get this idea that he turns up to Corinth, and he gets up to preach maybe in the marketplace or I think in the synagogue, and he doesn't feel very powerful or strong in himself. I can't do this. But he gets up and he's scared when he looks at everyone. And it says there, with much trembling, he is shaking. And I know that if you've ever got up here to do something, maybe it's to share your testimony or to lead or even to preach, I'll guarantee you were shaking. People might have thought, oh, look at how calm they are. But underneath, behind this pulpit, your legs are shaking. And all you young blokes that have got up to do something like that, you would know what it's like. And that's just like the Apostle Paul. You can say, well, I'm just like Paul. I feel weak, I'm scared, and I'm trembling. And my speech was not very enticing. He wasn't elaborate in his speech. He was just rough. But God took those words and used it to teach and to preach and to convict people. And so he was afraid, but he knew what Christ had commanded him to do, and he obeyed. It says there in Colossians 4:4, pray that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Yes, Paul was afraid to preach the gospel, yet he still did it because he knew that's what God wanted him to do. Nothing's different for us. God wants us to do the same. You know, if I only got up and preached when I didn't feel nervous, you would hardly have a sermon. All right? So, if I say, oh, I'm feeling a bit scared today, and so a bit nervous, so no message today. No, what you do is you get up and trust the Lord, and you find that often the nerves go. Sometimes they are there all the way through, and you're just glad when it's finished. But the reality is you do what God says to do. And so when you're there sharing, or the open door appears at work at the lunch break because they see you pray or they ask what you do, you know that you can say something about the Lord, but you're scared, you still do it. And you let God be at work then. And that's what we should do. When was the last time you asked the Lord for boldness to speak when the opportunity arose? And then you actually did that when it arose. And so when it comes to speaking, when the doors are open, what word would apply to you? Continue or start? Has God been opening doors, but oh, I'm not going through there, all right? And you need to start to speak. Or is it continue? Only you really know. Next, the third thing is found in verse 5, where we need to walk wisely. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. It seems Paul changes from asking for prayer, and now he gives a bit more advice to the believers there at Colossae. And he explains to them the importance of acting the right way towards those who are without. When it's saying without, that doesn't mean the poor people, those who are without food and clothing and so on. No, it's talking about those who are without Christ, or more specifically, outside of Christ, outside the body of Christ. When it comes to those who are outside of Christ and aren't believers, you need to be very wise towards them in your way of life. Redeeming the time. And I see two parts to this. Firstly, we have to act the right way when we're around the lost. That's important. You know, even though you may pray for an open door, even though you may speak when the opportunities arise, if your life doesn't match up with what you say, most likely it's going to fall on deaf ears or a very cynical heart. And sadly, there are many people who won't accept that gift of the Lord Jesus because of the poor testimony of the Christians they have come across in their life. And sadly, there are those who will declare they're a Christian, yet they'll swear like everyone else at work. They'll go down to the pub and they'll have a drink, and they might even get on the dance floor and bop away for a while. And then they wonder why, when they say, look, you need to repent of your sin and receive forgiveness for that, they wonder why people shake their head. What are you talking about? You're no different to me. You know, there are Christians who have unsaved parents. Yet they come home and they criticize the preacher in front of them, get angry and refuse to forgive their fellow brethren, lose their temper at the drop of a hat, and they wonder why their unsaved father or mother won't listen to them when they try and share the gospel. They don't walk very wisely at home. Or they might be at work and they will lie just as much as anyone else, steal, whatever it may be, and then they wonder why their workmates won't listen. If the believers at Colossae were seen down at the local tavern, reveling like everybody else, and then the next day seen in the marketplace preaching how people need to repent of their sin and they can have a new life in Christ, do you really think anyone would have got saved? We need to allow God to do a work in us. I know we're not perfect. I know we make mistakes. Yet we need to walk wisely and ask God to change us so people can see a difference in our life when we are mixing with the lost. And please don't blow it. All the work that you've done this year with any foolish actions at parties at this time of the year. Be wise in where you go and what you do. Walk in wisdom. But it doesn't end there, because Paul says redeeming the time, which is basically showing us that we need to understand that we don't have all the time in the world to do this. We need to use the time that we have wisely. Don't waste time when you're with the lost. Don't let opportunities go. We know that the Apostle Paul certainly didn't. He might be walking down the street and there's a beggar there and he'll tell them. And then he might be on trial where his life could be put to death. But what does he do? Takes the opportunity, share the gospel with the king or the governor or those around. He took the opportunity wherever he was because he didn't know when they were going to die or when he was going to die or when the Lord might come. And so he redeemed the time. We don't know when we're going to die. We don't know when that person we were bumping shoulders with and talking about the cricket for hours on end or the footy, yet never mentioning Christ, may be taken. You know, I've shared this before, I know, but probably the one that I'm not looking forward to, there's probably plenty that I don't know of when it comes to Judgment Day, but when we lived in Coffs Harbour, there was an elderly couple that lived next door to us. And when we moved in, the man had leukemia. And he would come out and talk quite often, help us with the... when I was doing some gardening. And he was a very lovely couple. And I would go and visit them every now and then, go and have a cup of tea and talk. Never mention Christ, but just trying to build up a relationship with them. And there was one night, we were heading off to evening Sunday service. And we hopped in the car. Kids are probably screaming, you know, at that stage, you know, when they're little. And I was just about to close the door. And this, it hasn't happened too often, this overwhelming sense where it's saying, you need to go and speak. I think his name's Mr. Ryan. You need to go and speak to Mr. Ryan. And I sort of balked. I thought, is that God speaking to me? And kids are fussing. I've got to get to church. I'll be late. So I closed the door. And I said, I'll go and speak to him tomorrow. Tomorrow came, get a knock on the door. Mrs. Ryan tells us he passed away that night. And I think, oh, that was a big mistake. Now, I don't know if he would have trusted Christ as his Savior. I don't know any of that. But I knew I should have gone and shared the gospel. That is not redeeming the time. And please, if you get that overwhelming sense, take it as God saying, this is the time you need to go and talk to that person. And don't push it away. You know, this year, could you look back on the times you got to spend with the unsaved? Maybe at uni, at work, or school. And times came up. How much of that was used wisely to share about Christ? When it comes to the area of walking wisely and redeeming the time, which words best suits you? Start or continue? Only you really know. Well, the last one is we need to be prepared. It says there in verse 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Now, there's some beautiful teaching there where it's not a matter of just getting up and yelling in the face of someone as though they are some evil person and you have the right to condemn them and look down. It is one of meekness, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. And so when someone asks you a question, you don't get on the defensive or the attack. Well, it's like this. No, you share with, as it says there, with grace. Season with salt. Just a little bit of just what's needed at the time. You know, as Peter said, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Same idea as well. And so we need to be ready. One of the reasons why we might get upset and we feel like we're being attacked is because we don't have an answer. Sometimes we don't say anything because we aren't prepared and we don't know what to say. And so we need to know what to say so that we can tell people what we believe and answer people the questions they ask. And that may mean, well, I know it does mean learning the verses that you need to share with them. So you don't even have to have a Bible. If you haven't got one, you can just share it with them because you know them. It might, or it does mean, learning the questions that they ask and then have a biblical answer to give them. You know, if I'm not going to give an invitation today, but just say I did, and someone walked the aisle, wanted to know how to get saved, and I pointed to you and said, could you please just share with them, show them how they can know that they're saved? Would you know what to do? I know you'd be scared. I get scared. If someone walks the aisle, the first thing I do, they're probably going to ask me because I'm the pastor. I get scared. But would you know what to say? You should be. You know, imagine going to the beach this summer, get caught in a rip, and so there's these lovely lifeguards up there. They look the picture, bronzed and muscly and, you know, whatever else they look like, and so you put your arm up straight and, yep, this big He-Man runs down with his board and he paddles out and he gets to you and then he goes, oh, I don't know what to do now. I haven't thought that far ahead. I just know I need to get out here. And you drown. Wow, what a lifesaver. But that's a little bit like being a one-way leader and not knowing how to share the gospel. No, it's a lot like it. Oh, can you tell me how to get saved? Oh, I haven't gone that far, actually. I'm just here. Or being a Sunday school teacher. Or even being a Christian who's out there in the world. And as we're told in Mark, that we're to go in the world and preach the gospel. And it's just like being a Christian who doesn't know how to share the gospel. Brethren, we need to be prepared and know what to speak so that no one will slip into eternity because we were the only one that had opportunity to share and we didn't because we didn't know what to say. And so we don't have the evangelist Fraser Young, and you certainly don't need me to give you advice, but here's four pieces of advice the Apostle Paul gives us, as he is inspired by the Spirit of God. And he says we need to pray for opportunities and boldness. We also need to speak when the opportunity comes. We need to walk wisely and we need to be prepared properly. Wouldn't it be good if we all decided to do that, take on this advice, and then next year we saw opportunities because we were praying for it and we took it and we spoke, we knew what to say, and we see people get saved. You know, in these areas, let me end with this. Which word would best suit you? Continue? I've only told you what you've already been doing. And if so, continue. Or is it start? Well, please start. Don't just say, oh yeah, I need to start, but you never do. Actually get ready and take on the advice that God shares with us in His Word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that someone shared the gospel with us. And oftentimes, for many of us, it is parents. And they knew what to say. Thank you. And Lord, they were able to share the gospel because someone shared it with them. And oftentimes, they didn't have Christian parents. But Lord, there is that sequence of events where one shares with the other. And Lord, I do pray that each one of us will see this need to be ready to pray, speak, and Lord, allow you to use us. Lord, I pray that, Father, we would be used of you this year and going into the new year to share the gospel with those who have that searching heart. And you open the door for us to speak to. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.